So tonight we're going to be continuing looking at Acts. This is actually going to be the last one in the series of Acts for a little bit of time at the end of September. We're going to be starting a really exciting new topic in kind of the Old Testament, looking at kind of different characters in that, different stories, and how they all point to Jesus as well, and then different themes through the Old Testament as well. So the last one in Acts tonight, Bibles. Good, you've already started doing it. I was going to say, if you haven't got a Bible, please grab one. There's ones at the front. There's also ones at the sides, just at the back. It'd help if I told you where we're reading from as well, wouldn't it? Acts 2, 43 to 47. I'll give you a second just to find it. And for me to find it as well. So Acts 2, 43, it says this. Wait, some people look like they're still fine. Okay, I'll go for it. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. Lord, we just pray that we would really learn something new about you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've absolutely loved going through this book of Acts. It's such an exciting book. You've really kind of get this glimpse of what community should be and what church should be. And you kind of see the good news, this good news of the gospel take off and spread across all the nations and changing hearts and lives of so many people. And as you see from this today, this is no kind of exception to that. It's such a rich passage. It not only looks at the church going deeper with God in community, but it also kind of shows us how the radical love and devotion from individuals can also change lives. So to start, I want to quickly look at a very interesting word that gets used right at the beginning. It uses this word, or. I wonder whether you've ever used that word. Has anyone ever used the word or that they can remember in a conversation? Any hands? One or two. Dan. Well, I suppose you do physics, so yeah, it is or of space. We'll go with that. I don't know if ever you think you've ever used it. Sometimes people say that in awe of kind of a beautiful picture. It might be sports people. Mo Farah. I don't know if someone in awe of the achievement that he's done, or something like the Grand Canyon. Look at that lovely pictures. Me and Ben were trying to find these earlier. Some people might be in awe of these people and their achievements, or these kind of beautiful pictures, beautiful sceneries. I remember once I was asked to do an event here at the church. I was asked to do sound for an event, but that was all I was really told, just that it might need one or two microphones. And so I turned up, got the microphone set up, and I didn't really know what to expect. And then this orchestra kind of start coming in. You get the violins, they start setting up, probably, where were the violins? I think they were about here. Then you get violas, that's it. You get the violas come in, people playing the cello, people playing double bass, and almost this whole space where all the chairs are, table foot, was filled up with this orchestra. And I was sitting just up there by the sound desk where the guys are, and there was loads of them. And the conductor's standing just at the front, and he kind of waves everyone to start. I feel silent, and this orchestra starts playing, and it was unbelievable. The noise and sound and that this orchestra were playing, I was completely in awe. I didn't know what to do, and I literally sat in my seat and almost remained silent. I didn't even move, and if those that you know me know, that's very rare. I didn't move for this whole time that it was playing, and it must have been like 40, 45 minutes. I just sat there and was completely fixated. You know, all these different groups, these different musical instruments, different musical families, all playing such different things, playing in different time signatures, but it all seemed to fit so perfectly together. And some people find this kind of level of awe in creation as well. But interestingly, verse 43 talks about them being in awe of God. Being in awe of this God that we've come to worship tonight, this God who made creation. The God who kind of gave creation its beauty. the one that gives these musicians, the orchestra, their abilities to play. And kind of we experience this presence of God in those moments sometimes. But talking about the presence of God can sometimes be quite difficult for some people. Some people don't really know how to describe it. But there really is something special. Something special happens when God's people come to meet together to worship. I don't know whether you've ever had those kind of tangible moments of God's presence. That moment when you are completely in awe. You almost don't know what to do with yourself. But you have this stillness and this peace over you. And there have been times when I've been praying, worshiping, and I've had this peace and stillness so deep within me. And again, you just kind of fall silent. A particular time I remember when I did my year of training here at the church. We went on different training blocks. And the last one, the last time we were all together, it was the last time we were all going to be in this group before we kind of went off and finished the year. And there was this moment when we were all singing, we were all praising. And again, the noise and the sound was just incredible. It almost sounded like we were producing more noise than was possible for the amount of people that were there. And it was like we were singing with the angels. It was just absolutely incredible. And again, I was just had this sense of peace about me. I don't know if people can relate to that at all. It was like being part of something so much bigger. Felt something so much bigger than myself. And I know a lot of you have just come back from Soul Survivor, as Josh shared. And there, when you're there, you're worshiping with so many other Christians. And you can feel like you're part of something bigger. You get this glimpse of almost what heaven's going to be like, worshiping with different cultures, different backgrounds, all kinds of people. You begin to worship this one incredible God. So how do we keep having this awe of this wonderful God in our everyday lives? I've spoken about individual moments where I've been in awe, but how do we do this when we're surrounded by non-Christians? How do we do this when it's a day like today and it's pouring with rain and you're getting absolutely drenched? How do you find the awe in God in those moments? Or you may be struggling with depression or anxiety. How do you find the awe of God in those moments? God isn't just in these kind of these big mountaintop experiences. He wants to be in our everyday. And I think the first way of experiencing God in our life is by getting close to Him. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." The more we seek to know Him and spend time with Him every day, the more we will see Him moving. You know, I can't stress enough the importance of spending time in God's Word and with Him daily, digging deeper. Digging deeper is one of the best things we can do with our day. I know many of you kind of read a lot of Christian books, and there's a very famous one, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard of, called Tim Keller, or actually Timothy Keller, as he puts on the front. He's the pastor of a church in America and the author of a lot of well-known Christian books. And then he wrote this book about encounters with Jesus. Very helpfully, he's called it Encounters with Jesus, so there's no confusion there. And I just want to read you just this little section that he writes in this book, just to give you a little background to that point as well. He's a very new Christian. He's just said before this, and he's just started leading some Bible studies. And he wanted to train up a little bit to get better at this. He wanted to be able to lead better. And so he's gone to this training conference, and he writes this about this conference. He says, "I'll never forget one of the exercises. The instructor gave us one verse, Mark 1:17. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men.' She asked us to spend 30 minutes studying each verse, which naturally was taken from an encounter with Jesus. She warned us that after 5 or 10 minutes, we would think we have seen all there is to see. But she challenged us to keep going. She said, 'Write down at least 30 things you see in or learn from the verse.' 10 minutes into the exercise, I was finished. Or so I thought I was, but I'm bored, in fact. But dutifully, I pushed on and kept looking. To my surprise, there was more. When we all returned, she asked us to look at our list and circle the most penetrating, moving, and personally helpful insight. Then she asked us a question. How many of you discovered your best insight in the first 5 minutes? Raise your hands. No hands. How many after 10 minutes? One or two hands were raised. 15. A couple more hands were raised. 20. A large number now raised their hands. 25. Many of us now raised our hands, smiling and shaking our heads. Those initial experiences with patient, inductive study of the biblical text changed my spiritual life. I discovered that if I spent the time and assumed the proper attitude of openness and trust, God spoke to me through his word. Let's be those that put God's word at our foundation. Let's take time to listen to God and spend time in his word. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not great at this. I often struggle to get up in the mornings and I'm very tired. And a lot of the time, I also just get distracted. I find it very easy to get distracted, as I'm sure a lot of you do. But the difference to when I start my day is huge. When I've started it by meeting with God, I get this greater kind of sense of peace about difficult situations. And I'm also a lot more joyful. When I'm at work, things I don't like doing, I'm happy to do. My whole perspective is aligned with God. And I find myself in awe of him a lot of the time in those moments. And we need to let this sense of awe and wonder kind of fuel our lives as well. And another important aspect of meeting with God is our prayer life. Prayer is just talking and listening to God, and God loves it when we talk to him throughout our day, not just when we get up in the morning or before we go to bed. When we spend throughout our routine time just talking to him, God absolutely loves it. Thinking back to kind of last time at Encounter, Dan spoke about and kind of looked at the early church in Acts devoting their time to prayer as well. It was one of the things that they did as part of this early church. They devoted themselves to prayer. And this really helps us as well dwell on God's promises and meet with God throughout the day. Through prayer, we experience the everyday tiny miracles that God does. So we've seen one way of experiencing God is coming close to him. But this passage also shows us that experiencing God is also with other believers. When we devote our time to others. Dan last time again looked at the importance of fellowship, meeting together and spending time with each other. And you see the early church in Acts really understand what this looks like. They experience God through this. There's a lot we can learn from them. Verse 46 of Acts 2, every day they continued to meet together. They were living life together. They spent time with each other. And the Acts church, it really builds this sense of community, this sense of oneness in Christ. They helped to meet each other's needs. They ate together. And interestingly, often, I think when we eat together, you don't just meet the physical need of food. I think there's this sense of togetherness within that. You naturally begin to talk. You naturally begin to catch up. And yeah, we underestimate the emotional impact that eating together has. Just that little thing makes such a big difference. You see a level of care being shown for one another when you eat together. And it's really what you see them do in this verse when every day they continued to meet together. But they didn't just eat together. Verse 45 says they were selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. They understood what it meant to care for the needy. I mean, when was the last time you sold something for someone in need? I can't think of the last time I had. I don't think I ever have. And I think this is one of the things which really distinguished them. It was they were making personal, painful sacrifices for the sole purpose of benefiting others in need. This church were making painful sacrifices for the sole purpose of benefiting others. And you look at kind of this group of people that were there, they weren't all the same, and so they can understand that. The church in Acts was actually this hugely diverse group of people. You see, at the beginning of chapter 2, it lists just a couple of them. It has people from Egypt, Libya, Asia, and other parts of the world. And a lot of time, they wouldn't have mixed or even got on. It just wasn't naturally a group of people that would be together. And also, these groups would have included slaves, slave masters. And so what you probably would have seen is slave masters selling what they had, selling their possessions for their slaves. Just take a moment to think how crazy that actually is. These slave masters that have spent money, they've gone to buy these slaves to work for them. Now what they're doing is selling all their things to look after them, to care for them. It kind of completely flipped these cultural norms on its head. You have people across all nations, cultures, and backgrounds coming together and meeting with God. But sacrifice, as I'm sure many of you know, is hard. And often what we do is we can sacrifice others and things for our needs, for what we want. But this isn't the way that Jesus shows us to live. You see, the greatest example of this sacrifice in Jesus' death. He didn't want to die on the cross. You see him in the garden asking God, let there be another way. Luke 22:42, which should be on the screen, says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. He gave up his own desires and was put on the cross for us. So we experience God when we sacrifice for others. This is what we were created for, to live sacrificial lives for those around us. You've probably all heard of the Sermon on the Mount. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So when we live life for others, we are actually living lives God created us for. So we've seen that devotion to God and devotion to others are part of experiencing God. These two things, they're not separate. Our love for God is expressed in our love for people, and our love for people is expressed in our love for God. And in this passage, the church understood this balance of devotion to God and devotion to others. You see their devotion to God through prayer, through praising God and breaking bread. But they were also together, eating, serving, and enjoying being around each other. They experienced God through experiencing life with one another. To have true community, to have true biblical community, there is no separation between these two. They go hand in hand. Devotion to others and devotion to God go hand in hand. And communities will thrive when these two are aligned. When devotion to God and devotion to others are aligned. However, I'm sure you've all heard of someone who said, I have a great relationship with God. Me and God are fine. But my relationship with the church is broken. Which is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. I recognize we're not perfect people. We hurt others and we get hurt by others. And a lot of time maybe it's easier to walk away from church because then you don't get hurt. Maybe you know someone that's walked away from church because they've been hurt. But we know that God calls us to that community with each other. So this then leads us to the important question, how do we deal with hurt? I don't know what you do when you get hurt. Do you walk away? Do you fight? Do you seek help? People respond to hurt in all different ways. And to live life, to live the life Jesus wants us to, we need to kind of learn how to deal with it. So how do we do that? How do we live life with people that hurt us? Living life with people requires forgiveness beyond our own capacity. I'll say that again. Living life with people requires forgiveness beyond our capacity. It requires this kind of level of forgiveness that no matter what, we will keep loving. Now, this isn't easy. It is incredibly hard. You have to work at it. You know, deep and meaningful relationships don't form overnight. As I'm sure a lot of you know, it takes time and devotion. But how do we forgive? How do we keep loving those that hurt us? And I think there's a very simple answer, and it's Jesus. The one who set us free, the one who gave his life for us. The grace we have been shown is beyond measure. I mean, grace is forgiveness we don't deserve. This grace is how we can forgive. When we truly get how much we've been forgiven, we get the strength to forgive. So when we truly kind of understand that forgiveness that's been upon us, we will get the strength to forgive. And I once heard someone say, holding on to unforgiveness within yourself is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Which, when you say it like that, sounds crazy. And often we don't think of unforgiveness like that. But it is, because it eats away at us. Unforgiveness holds more chains around us than we could ever imagine. And there may be someone, even tonight, that you're thinking of that you know you need to forgive. So we're going to spend some time a bit later, in a minute. And if you need to forgive someone tonight, I would love to pray for you. I want to give some space for you to ask God to help you forgive. But before I do that, I want to finish by looking at this last little part. It says, verse 47, which I think is going to come up on the screen, just this little bit, the Lord added to their number daily. They were devoted to God, and they were devoted to others around them, and you see God bless them by adding to their number daily. Jesus commanded us in Matthew to love God and love others. He kept it very simple for us. Love God and love others. And you see Paul, actually, for a lot of his letters, he has this yearning love for his people to be speaking of Christ and growing the kingdom of God. He starts his letter to the church in Galatia by writing this. Galatians 1, I think it should be up on the screen. It says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You see, Paul, he knows and understands that the best thing for believers and non-believers is Jesus. At the beginning of them, throughout the New Testament, he starts them by pointing towards Jesus. That's what you see him do. So let's have this love that Paul does for others in the community. Let's have Paul's love. As I said at the beginning, Acts shows this wildfire gospel rapidly spreading. And God was adding to their number daily, as it said. But you know what? It's the same awe-inspiring God it was then as it is today. So we can have the same vision. Could you imagine? Right, imagine this. Follow me. Don't follow me, actually. Stay sitting down. You come in. I hope this reaches as well. I hope the battery. You come in on a Sunday morning. Hi, Nick. You come in. You open the door. Ah, there's nowhere to sit. Every seat is taken. So you think, I know what I'll do. There's two floors. So, you run upstairs. Maybe not run. Not a lot of people run up these stairs. You run upstairs and you do the same thing. You go, oh, there's nowhere to sit. Hi, guys. There's nowhere to sit. The only way you're sitting down is on someone's lap. You might get taken out of the church pretty quickly if you start trying to do that as well. But could you imagine what that would be like? Could you imagine to see this place filled, bursting at the seams with... Oh, I shouldn't have run down those stairs. Oh, imagine Tim and David standing up here on a Sunday morning and going, guys, we need to raise some money because we've run out of room in this building. Could you imagine how exciting that would be? Imagine it. Bursting, literally not being able to sit down anywhere. Having to stand. Some people might not appreciate that. But having to stand because there's not enough room to sit down. Because this building is filled with people wanting to come and worship God. Sometimes what we want is the people first and then God's presence to fall. That's not what this passage is saying. When we... You have to question what they were in awe of. Because it first talks about them being in awe of God and building community. Then it finishes by the Lord adding to their number daily. And I think this is so crucial. They were in awe of God first. We need to get our perspective right. They knew kind of what it was to be. They knew what it was to devote themselves to Jesus and devote themselves to others. And then the Lord added to their number daily. Now, I believe in a God that is capable of growing this church so it bursts out the seams. But we need to be praying. We need to pray big things. And so that's what I want us to do. I want us to pray. There's two different groups of people I would love to pray for. The first is I'd love to pray for people who may be holding on to unforgiveness. People who feel like they need to forgive someone. The second group of people I would love to pray for is those who want to see more of God. Those who want to have more of this awe-filled life and want more of His Spirit. So maybe if the band come up, if maybe you bow your heads with me. I would love to pray for you. If you feel like you need to forgive someone, if you feel like you may be holding on to something, then maybe you just want to raise your hand slightly. I'd love to pray for you now. If you feel like you maybe need to forgive someone, if you feel like maybe there's someone you need to forgive, it doesn't have to be here tonight, but if you feel like there's someone which you're holding something on to, I would love to pray for you. Lord God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that no matter what we do, you still love us. I want to lift my brothers and sisters to you now who need your help in this area of forgiveness. You forgave us beyond our wildest imagination. So please, would you help us forgive? We recognize that hurt is often involved when forgiveness is needed. And so Jesus, would you heal what is broken and comfort those who are hurting? I'd love to just pray as well for the second group of people I mentioned earlier. Now I understand forgiveness, it is painful. As I said, there can be a lot of hurt involved. So I don't want to disrupt the healing that God's doing as well. But if you want to experience God tonight, or you want to experience more of God in your everyday, I would love to ask you to do a brave thing and actually stand with me. If you want to experience more of this God who changes lives and changes any situation, I wonder if you'd just stand with me where you are. We've got some time now, and there's going to be some people that actually come around and just pray for you. We've got some time. I want to make sure everyone that wants to be filled with the Spirit gets prayed for. And so maybe if the band, you guys can lead us. We're just going to have some time now, just some space. So maybe if those have asked to pray for a couple of people, could just maybe lay some hands on people and just pray that they'd be filled with God's Spirit. So Jesus, we thank you for giving us your Spirit. Lord, we want you to be in our everyday. Please meet with us, God. Amen.